I'll tell you guys, there are some texts in the Bible that when you're preparing, you get to them and think, oh, that's hard. What exactly does it mean? What should I say to explain it? And then there are other texts like this one that are just so straightforward. You just want to open it up and just say, yeah, you just read that. That's what it says. But I hope that we can all benefit from studying this all the same tonight. So our brother Jim opened up in Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. There's another text out of Proverbs I'd like to read as our opening with a very similar theme. It's if you wish to pen it down, it's Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, let's see, 1 through 4. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whomever is simple, let him turn in here. And then jumping down to verse 13, the same chapter. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. So the reason I brought up Deuteronomy 30 and these Proverbs passages is because there's a similar theme to our text tonight. This idea of two paths, one that leads to life and one that leads to death. You'll notice that the woman of folly and the woman of wisdom, they both called out to those passing by, didn't they? They both said, come and commune with me. And every person has to make that choice. But what a difference the choice can make. One leads to blessing and one to destruction. And although we may very well wish to stall, to not make a choice, in the end, we all make a choice, even if we do not say it. For every house is built upon something. Yet, what will the result be when the testing and the trial come? The rain is on the horizon, as we will see. So, chapter 6, starting in verse 46, I will read. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. This text is also great in that some texts lend themselves more to building up in one area or one life stage over another. But here, I trust, will not be the case. We have something here for the person who is still wondering which path to choose. We have something for the person who claims the path of life, but in reality walks the path of death, the hypocrite. And we also have one to the wise people, the wise person who does indeed build upon the rock. So first, as we focus in our text, we must ask, what is the real difference between the wise man's house and the fool's house? What is the difference? And you may have known, because I'm sure you all see, it's very plain. It is the foundation, of course. This text assumes there's but one foundation, and that makes all of the difference. Either use the rock or you go foundationless. There are no alternatives. Yet, every house is built upon something simply because houses rest on something, right? They have to be built on land. They do not fly. And that's why in Matthew 7, Jesus is saying very much the same parable. And instead of saying there's no foundation, it says the house is built upon the sand. The result is the same, though, as in our verse 49, ruin and destruction. So what can we conclude about building upon the sand? I'd say at least three things. First is that building upon the sand is building upon whatever happens to be there. Since here in Luke it mentions a new foundation, and Matthew it mentions the sand, we can venture to say that this man did not go out looking to build on sand. He did not say, where is the best patch of sand? It just happened to be there. If I may make an analogy, opposed to Christ, to build upon the sand is to build upon the popular thought of the day. Whatever way modern opinion is swaying at the moment, that is building upon the sand. And two, it counts as no foundation whatsoever because, number three, it does not hold. It constantly shifts. especially when challenged by trial. And now we turn to the foundation itself. We've already implied it is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the idea of Christ being our rock and foundation is nothing new to most of you, if not all. So I turn to the house in connection with the foundation to point out something in verse 48. It says the house was well built, as we said earlier, and the only difference was what the house was built upon. And this says little to nothing about the house itself, and instead reminds us that our salvation is by faith. Because it's not how well the shutters are hung on the life of the Christian's house, nor is it the faith or hope in itself that is worth anything. Rather, it is all in the object of faith. You may have confidence in just about anything to save, but that will make zero difference if it has been misplaced. It is not the hope, the faith itself, nor is it the quality of the house. It's what is the house resting upon, the foundation, Christ Jesus. The proper object of faith is, of course, the Rock of Ages. And how is this faith realized? By building your life upon Christ, that is, by his words. At some point, you were given some freedom to decide how you would build. At some point, you stopped being under the complete authority of your parents. At some point, you were able to make a choice in what exactly am I going to do with my life. And even as we are kids, right, we start getting those choices little by little, and what a difference they start to make. And these choices reveal a lot about us and our inherent beliefs. And we ought to be warned that lip service is also of no benefit. When you believe the storm, the rain that it warns of here is coming, you prepare accordingly. If you say you know it is coming, but by your actions you show that you could care less, wouldn't people assume that you are either lying about your belief that the rain is coming or that you are in fact suicidal? The rain is coming, and accordingly we choose a steady place to build. And now a note on obedience. Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. It's the one where there are two sons, you may remember. He says, What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, Son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said, the first. You see, when you say, I'm going, but you don't go, when you're saying, I'm built upon the foundation, but you actually don't, it is of no benefit. And yet, if you are like the one son who at first does not, but then you do, then of course you still get to benefit. It is a dead horse to be beat again and again. It comes down to what are we ultimately trusting in? And when we trust in him, we put our feet steady on that firm foundation. And that is why Jesus said afterwards that truly the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness and did not believe him, but the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. Even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him. So to the wanderer and the wayward, I say, build upon this rock. But what can we say to the faithful wise? I pivot here on the subject of building by going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Should have had that one marked too. That's okay. I'm sure you'll bear with me. Actually, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. My mistake. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon. Let each one take care how he builds it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Paul argues here that those ministering for the kingdom, true Christians who've built upon the rock, built upon the foundation, don't all minister equally. We've talked very much about the foundation. Now we do talk a little bit about the house, as it were. Some minister with gold and others with hay. The former building will survive and be celebrated in heaven. The second will not last and will pass away with the world. The person who built with bad material will still be saved. They believed in Christ. They get to go to heaven just by faith, but not with a great entry. One pastor had said it's sort of like entering with the smell of smoke on you. Their work has come to nothing. So I ask you, is this a word only for pastors, only for people who are paid to minister and spread the gospel? Certainly not. Do we not all minister to the children, to each other? Do we not all have opportunity to speak good, biblical, and wise counsel to those around us? We certainly do. And so I summarize by reminding you that the most important thing, the thing that Jesus is saying so straightforward that anyone could read and understand, is to build your house upon the rock, to build your life upon Christ and his words. There is no safer place, for the rain still comes and it still is shaky and testing, but that house will stand. And once you have done this, to take care with how you build, how you minister, how you speak to others when you are given those opportunities, for those things can result in great reward and building with something that lasts not only in this world but into the next one.